It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
As voice of Chiefs Kingdom, he's seen the lowest of lows and the highest of highs.
You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
Your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Mitch Holthus with CDOT on The Drive.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. And he's seen a lot of great games in his day, a lot of great finishes. I'm not sure if he has seen too many greater than what we saw yesterday at Arrowhead. Mitch, happy to have you join us on the show today, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, CDOT. The only regret I have, you know, as a play-by-play announcer, you think, oh, I wish I would have said this instead of a walk-off. Why didn't I say it was a block-off?
That's a good one, Mitch. That's a really good one.
I should have nailed it. I know, but it's a 1% chance of happening on a blocked field goal and probably a 1% chance to win the game. Less than that probably on a blocked field goal, but heck yeah, we're calling it the block-off.
I was thinking this as I was watching the game, and Mitch Holthus, his appearance on the show is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, also by GEHA, a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, they've had 4 of these kinds of wins so far this season. The Ravens game, you would say the 4th-and-18 against the Cincinnati Bengals, last week in OT, and then this week against the Denver Broncos. I mean, over the last 30 years in the NFL, there's only one other franchise that I could have seen going 4-0 in those games. You got down double digits, or the other team goes down the field and then makes the decision to not kick the 2-point conversion. Like, all of these things that have happened, and the Chiefs have won every single one of these games. I mean, the only organization, the only franchise that would have won this game are the Patriots. That we saw that the Patriots just had a long reign of terror over the rest of the NFL, and the league just kind of had to sit by for 20 years and just let them have it, and then eventually their run was over. It feels like that's the same thing that's happening to the Chiefs. I can't explain it, but right now it is just the Chiefs' time, and the rest of the league is just going to have to deal with it for however long that is.
Well, and to do it in different ways. If it was all like the Tampa Bay game where you're getting a walk-off offensively and winning in overtime with the first possession and having a double-digit play drive to win it, and that was all 4 of them, but this is all different ways. I mean, the only thing they haven't had is a return to walk it off, and, hey, that might be coming. I mean, who knows with this team. But to do it defensively, to walk it off, the toenail game against Baltimore, you mentioned Cincinnati, to win it offensively and then to have the Chenault block field goal. It just tells you about the, and it sounds cliche, but this team is very, not just physically tough, they're mentally mature and mentally tough. Leo Chenault was telling us last night, Matt McMullen and I had him on our rewind show. He was just, I mean, they were talking about it. They knew they had a chance to blow up that A and B gap based on what had happened prior in the game. And these guys study, they figure out, and then the belief that they could do it. I mean, that's a 1% chance of happening, but they were going, it's the dumb and dumber line, you know, so they're saying there's a chance. It's a testimony to not just the skill of these guys, but an unusual makeup mentally and physically to be a winner. We see it in other sports, have down through history, but we're seeing something here that's almost unprecedented.
I saw a quote from Mecole Hardman after the game where he was telling a story, and he says that he was talking to DeAndre Hopkins, and he was like, man, this game is over. And Mecole said that he told him, no, it's not. I've seen crazier things. Like, this is something that if you've been around this organization, and you obviously have, like, yesterday, I don't even know if yesterday is one of the 5 most, like, wild endings finishes that we've seen over the course of this run. Like, they just have a repeat habit of winning these kinds of games.
And McColl's comment is a testimony to what I just said. Keep in mind, he was the guy that started all this. being down 24-0 to Houston in the divisional playoff game in 19, and he has the belief and wherewithal to run back a kick 58 yards. That started everything, you realize, over a seven-year span. And that was down 24 points. And when you overcame that and you overcome double digits to beat Tennessee, and we all know what's happened over this time span, those guys that have been around that long, they're going, heck yeah, if there's 1% and there's no zeros on the clock, this could happen. So I'm not surprised by McColl's comment at all.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Mitch, I know this is, you've called so many games. Where would the end of that sort of feel? Because, I mean, we're talking about, I saw a stat, like teams that kick less than 40-yard field goals, they make like 97.2% of them. Like, it felt like a foregone conclusion. It was basically an extra point. Like, they basically had a block extra point yesterday to win the game. Where does yesterday rank in terms of your personal regular season? I can't believe I saw that.
It's right up there. You know, I've got to kind of scan because I'm going to, and I'm glad you said regular season, because you have to really categorize regular season and postseason in two different files. But regular season, I mean, I remember Stojanovic's field goal against the Broncos, which was the 54-yard knuckleball that barely goes over the crossbar. That one pops into mind. The win at Green Bay in 2003, that was in overtime. And the Chiefs trailed by 17 points in the fourth quarter to Brett Favre. Now, he helped throw in a pick six to Jerome Woods. But that's the two that come to mind right away. I'm sure there's others. But as I scan quickly to answer your question, this one would be top three. I'm sure top five. But it might be in the top three with those other two.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, a couple of things I want to get your opinion on. Let's start with the left tackle situation, Wanye Morris. We heard earlier today from Coach that it sounds like Wanye is going to be able to go in the Buffalo game. Kingsley kind of struggled a little bit on Sunday. What are you seeing at that left tackle position right now?
Well, it was. We've been watching it. I've been watching it since OTAs, or really since rookie minicamp, after Kingsley was drafted by the Chiefs. In watching, and that was going to be a battle. And then all of a sudden, going into camp, it wasn't a battle. Like, it was Kingsley's job. And then Kingsley had a ton of reps in training camp and then struggled once the game started against elite rushers. Benito's really good. But it can't be just in microseconds. Pat didn't even have a chance for the play to set up. And two of them were blindside, which are really dangerous because that could lead to scooping scores and sack strips and serious injury to Pat. So that's what you have to take into account here. Now, I've seen Coach Reed and Coach Heck trust those guys enough to figure out to work on this. But in Kingsley's case, many times that takes an off season to do it. So, the other fallback is what the Chiefs did when they had injuries at left tackle. When going to Cincinnati a couple of years ago in the 21 year, I believe, was when Lucas Niang gets hurt in pregame warmups. And he was filling in, and so Tooney had to play left tackle. Now, you don't want to do that unless it's an emergency. And thank goodness that Juwan's played, has done a really good job, maybe his best, well, at least the two games prior to this, maybe his two best games in the regular season as a Chief. So I'm giving you a long answer here. You know, I trust Coach Heck and Coach Reed. They're going to be pouring over everything they can do, but you hope Wanye's got it ready to go. And then Kingsley continues to maybe do the long play here and get himself to be a viable left tackle in the league. Now, what makes it paramount is you're playing a team this week. You know, I talked about Denver being front in the fish tank when it's third down and 10 plus. By the way, one of your stats of the night is Denver had only allowed two third down and 10 plus conversions in 27 such instances prior to yesterday afternoon. And both of those were runs. The Chiefs converted a third and 13 for 33 yards to Samaje Perine, and a third and 13 to D-Hop in the fourth quarter. The Broncos had not allowed a pass for a completion of third and 10 or more, or more than 10, all season long. Now, okay, now, Buffalo is wicked. They're number one in the league in plus 13 in the giveaway takeaway. They live off takeaways. They have 19 of them, which is crazy, 10 games into the season. And they have Epinesa. Rousseau has been a menace to the Chiefs in the past. They still have Von Miller on their roster. But this is a team that lives off takeaways and sacks and just being nasty. So the left tackle position, all the protections will take a center stage even more so. Well, as much against Denver, because Denver's defense, I think, is close to elite.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, one thing I'm a little surprised about, and I understand hindsight is 20/20, but they had a lot of youth and inexperience at left tackle. I am surprised that they didn't bring in Donovan Smith. You know, they kind of did that at running back. You know, they had some youth there. They bring in Samaje Perine when he was available to kind of play that Jerick McKinnon role. I am a little bit surprised, given the fact that they had two young guys at left tackle, that they didn't have the veteran Donovan Smith to at least create some kind of floor if they ran into trouble.
Yeah, and I'm stepping into Brett Veach's realm here, and you would need to ask him. And I don't want to speculate, and I'm dodging your question. I don't mean to. I mean, I could think of why. I mean, we have salary cap issues. You just can't go and buy anybody. And when you've got a vested veteran like that, maybe that's it. But Donovan's not playing for anybody right now. So I don't know. It could be a bit of a moot point. I know that they saw enough last year in Wanye and Kingsley to think that this thing hopefully could get better. But I can't answer why they didn't go out and try to get a veteran there. You need to ask Veach that question.
I do want to ask you a little bit about Mahomes and his accuracy down the field. He had a chance to connect with Xavier Worthy down the field on a deep play. Looked like the ball was thrown a little bit poorly. I feel like he and Worthy just haven't been on the same page for like the last month or so. I don't know how much of that is on the quarterback. I don't know how much of that is on the young guy. But, I mean, that's a ball that we have seen Mahomes hit. It feels like at a pretty high clip over the course of his career. And just for somewhat this year, they really struggled on some of those deep down the field passes.
That's part of the pressure. I think if you go back and look at the video of those, you'll see pressure on many of those misses. It's rarely where he's had his feet set and all kinds of time and he's patting the football and launches it perfectly. I have not had a chance to watch the right side boundary throw that went out of bounds for Xavier yesterday. But I think it's a combination of a lot of things. And I think Xavier and people are muscling up on him. They're trying to block him off his route and throw him off in his timing. But I think there's big plays coming from him, even as early as this week. So if people are trying to close the chapter, I think there's some major concern there. I could see a rally between Mahomes and Xavier Worthy over the next 3 weeks.
I want to give somebody some credit today that I haven't really heard a whole lot about it, and I get it. There's a lot about the block field goal, and that obviously is the big story from the game. I give this offense, and especially Kareem Hunt, a lot of credit for. Yesterday, the Chiefs just didn't run the football very effectively yesterday, and you kind of had to find a different course of action. I mean, he got his carries yesterday. He got 14 carries. He only got 35 yards. They ran it 16 times and got 38 yards for running backs yesterday. But for Kareem Hunt to be the leading receiver for them yesterday, 7 catches, 65 yards, and he still got his 100 yards. It was different than how he's got them so far over the course of his time back in Kansas City, but Kareem Hunt still found a way to help this team, even if it wasn't getting his usual 20 carries for 85 yards.
And you went back to 2017, I remember amazed at how good he was as a receiver, and especially on check down throws. And there were some big plays yesterday on check down throws to him, where everybody's covered downfield, and Patrick was able to find him pinned against the boundary. But a check down throw to him is different than Jerick McKinnon, let's say, over the past years, and that's not casting aspersions on McKinnon. You're just going to have to tackle Kareem Hunt in open space. And he's got good hands. He's got great feet. His balance along the boundary yesterday was an example of that on a check down pin throw. But it's the next step, honestly, for this offense, is to get – a check down throw doesn't necessarily mean a defeat. It means a chance, depending on who you're throwing to, for a big play with a couple broken tackles. Perine does the same thing. Perine, the 22-yarder, I'm trying to think he had earlier this year, against San Francisco, and then yesterday's 33-yarder are examples of similar plays of which Kareem Hunt made happen yesterday. I thought it was the next step for Isaiah Pacheco coming into this season, is that he would do those kinds of things in the passing game, because that's a way of alleviating some of your pressure, not only on the quarterback, but also on your second and third level receivers. If you start getting 10 plus plays on checkdowns or 20 plus, and you've got to tackle Kareem Hunt in space, that's going to open up some other stuff in a secondary manner.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holthus here for a couple more minutes. His appearance on the show are brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center, also GEHA, proud partners of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, let's look ahead a little bit to the Bills game. I know we have a little bit of time, but I don't have to tell you the importance of this game. And going back to this venue, what was it like the last time you were there for, you know, you had certainly heard it before. Well, you know, Patrick Mahomes only won home playoff games. Now they got to go on the road to do it. And you could tell that this team really embraced the challenge. And they went to two of the more difficult places to play, on the road against Buffalo, on the road against Baltimore, and won two really hard-fought victories. What was it like to be the visitor in that game?
You're a cultured man, I know. Have you ever seen Les Miserables?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's about the French Revolution. That's okay. What it was. It was pitchforks and RPGs and dirt clods and everything else. It's an interesting venue because when we're on the field, like I'll do the pregame shows on the field, you have to go up through the stands to get to our broadcast booth in the old stadium. Now, they're getting ready to build a new one, but we're still in the old one. All right? So you're going through they're storming by the Bastille at the French Revolution, and you're walking through it going, hey, guys, what's going on? Like, they were so lathered up to win that game. They're going to be the Bills Mafia, and they're going to be that way again this week. I don't expect anything different, obviously. And it's a big game, biggest game in the NFL, you could argue, this whole season, or at least the biggest AFC game. So, yeah, it's on. And I've started the study, kind of doing a deep dive this morning into them. There's just some interesting things about this game, I think. And there's more similarities between these two teams than what you would think. But, it will be a festive affair.
I know it's pretty early when you look at the standings, but, I mean, the difference in winning and losing this game for Kansas City are just monumental. I mean, if you win this game, you are four up on the Bills with, what, six to play? If you lose this game, the Chiefs are only one up, and anything can happen. It's the National Football League. Like, I don't want to say that you can 100% eliminate Buffalo because there's still a lot of football to be played, but you have an overwhelming advantage with a win on the road that I'm not sure if there's enough time for Buffalo to be able to overcome it.
And there's a chance to win this game. I think a lot of people are, you know, they're just hoping that the Chiefs will lose a game. A lot of the national pundits, you can call it Chiefs weariness or whatever. I was listening to some national shows driving home last night. Do we have to talk about the Chiefs? Like it was, I'm like, what are you guys doing here? So everybody's kind of rooting, I think, for a Buffalo victory other than the growing Chiefs Kingdom fans. That being said, Buffalo is 7-0 against teams that have losing records. They're 1-2 against teams that have winning records. Do you know their only win?
No, I'm trying to think of who are the Chiefs?
Arizona.
Okay, the Cardinals. Okay, yeah, no, I misheard it. Okay, Arizona.
Yeah, 34-28. No, they're 1-2 this year against teams with winning records, and they're 7-0 against teams that have losing records. Now, sometimes they can tip the scale, like Indianapolis, they win. You're going to make them a losing team by beating them. But in this instance, it's a team that has not played a rock-hard schedule. Where Buffalo is making its living now, Josh Allen is very much like Mahomes. Yesterday, he had a rough game. He had a 60-point quarterback rating. He threw two picks, and yet he made terrific second-half and fourth-quarter plays to win the game. Mahomes is still one of the top-ranked fourth-quarter quarterbacks in the NFL this year with four touchdowns and no picks in the fourth quarter. Josh Allen did the same thing. But this Buffalo team is living off the giveaway takeaway. They have 19 takeaways, 77 takeaway points, and they're plus 13 in the giveaway takeaway. So if you minus one in this game, to me, feels like it's not going to work. If you're even in this game, you got a real shot to beat them. They've also allowed a gob of 20-plus plays on the back end. If you protect, this goes back to Rousseau and Epinesa and the other guys that they have up front and good defensive linemen. But if you can give Pat enough time, you can attack this back third. Remember, both their safeties they've had for years are gone. They're young in the secondary, and they just don't have the guys in the secondary they've had. Now, that doesn't mean they're bad. I mean, these guys are 8-2. But you got shots to win this game, real shots that I don't think, unless you do a deep dive, you're not going to think that the Chiefs would have a chance to put up a big number in this game. Now, the Bills score 30-plus with regularity, and they're facing the Chiefs team, which hasn't given up over, 27, the best since the 0001 Eagles of Jim Johnson and that great blitzing defense that the Eagles had with Andy Reid. So you're talking 30-some years. But you also have the chance to get after this Bills defense if you can protect and not turn the ball over.
The one thing that I like about Buffalo that sort of evolved over the years is I think they're far more balanced in their run game. I felt like there was a stretch there for a couple of years. You were asking Josh Allen to do everything. You were asking him to be your leading rusher and your passer, and I thought you could see over time he just kind of wore down. James Cook's turned into a capable back. Ray Davis is good. Ty Johnson's a good kind of change of pace. I question if Buffalo has enough on the outside. Keon Coleman's not going to play in this one. Amari Cooper's really banged up. I'm not sure how explosive Buffalo's going to be on the outside to go up against Kansas City's defense. This is a very intriguing matchup for a lot of different ways. That's where I would probably give Kansas City the advantage. I know that Kansas City's not going to be bothered by the road or home field advantage aspect. This is just going to be who matches up better. I wonder if the lack of explosiveness on the outside is going to really hurt Buffalo in this game.
Well, and Dalton Kincaid may be out. He got injured in yesterday's game. And they're talking about a knee sprain with him, and he's a very good player, as you know. And so is Dawson Knox. I mean, those are two good tight ends that affect things. Now, Shakir's been good for them. They've got some guys that have stepped up. Again, remember, they let Stephon Diggs go in the offseason. But this is a team that still has a lot of weapons. Shakir's sitting here at 48 catches. I'm looking at it now, but Kincaid has 34. And Knox has 10. That's 54 tight end catches. Coleman's out. That's 22 catches. So they'll throw to the running backs as well, James Cook. And, again, Josh Allen, too, and again, like Mahomes, has had to prove to be resourceful without some familiar faces. So we got to give Josh Allen credit for that. But right now this Buffalo team is living off pressures and taking the ball away. They also do not give it away. Only 6 giveaways. That's the best in the league. So this game, some games, it sounds obvious, are about giveaway, takeaway. Most games are, but some games, Chiefs are -4 and they're 9-0. So that doesn't always work. But in this game, to me, it feels like that is paramount. And defensively, we know that they're really good, but they've given up 38 10-plus runs. That's next, it's near the bottom of the league, and 20-plus runs. So they've struggled with run defense in Buffalo because they've been missing some guys there on that side of the ball, too. You just have a shot at getting some things done offensively in this game.
Last thing here, Mitch, this is not just your regular Chiefs Kingdom. You guys might have the most popular NFL player in the world on Chiefs Kingdom show tonight.
Maybe the most popular human. I got to get into this. Have you seen his game show yet? I haven't seen it.
I have actually seen it.
Is it good?
I watched it. It's fun. It's basically the same Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader before, but there's like celebrities instead of kids answering questions. It's fun. I watched it a couple episodes.
Okay. So it's kind of like the parody of Celebrity Jeopardy when Will Ferrell has got the fake guys. Is it like that or is it legit?
No, this is like a legitimate show. I will say, though, it really shows Travis's personality. You know how tough it is to be an MC in these moments, and he feels like a natural.
Hey, when he did SNL, he is the best guest host of SNL, in my opinion, in, 20 years? That show's just fallen off to me. Like, they don't write like they used to. You remember the old days or the glory days of, like, the 90s? That's what Kels was. I thought he was phenomenal. Remember the Sucre skit? I mean, he was just super funny. And I could see him being a game show host for the rest of his life. We're going to dive into the why I think he's into the game show thing. But you got to listen to the show tonight to hear it.
All right, I can't wait. Mitch Holtz has got
There's
Travis.
A reason. He's obsessed with somebody. There's somebody he's obsessed with that I'll bring up on the show and see what he says.
I can't wait to hear it on the way home. That is Mitch Holtz joining us on the show today. He is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. He has Travis Kelce coming on the Chiefs Kingdom show later today. Mitch, I appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, C-Dot. I will give you one scoop, and I'll do it on the show. Your snap count.
Let's do it.
You know, that's one of the nicknames I've given you. How many snaps do you think Kelce has played as a Kansas City Chief, counting the playoffs?
I got to go percentage or like total number?
Total number.
Oh, goodness.
Like your heartbeat today, your heart is beating today 100,000 times.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not thinking about it. But
yeah, I'm going to go like 9,000, somewhere in that range.
Good guess. Really good guess. Rob, I don't know what he guessed. 10,664 snaps.
It's a lot of football.
Let me repeat, 10,000 664 snaps. Think how many high leverage hard snaps those are.
Yeah,
so that counts playoff snaps since Patrick has been the quarterback of by going backwards 23 to 18, 242, 156, 176, 189, 182, and 135. That's the playoffs. Okay, so yes, there's a lot of tread. He is an absolute war horse, Kels.
That is Mitch Holthus joining us on the show today. Be sure after us to keep it locked in. Travis Kelce will be a guest on the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Mitch, I appreciate you.
Thanks. We'll also hear from Coach. Talk to you.
Absolutely. As Mitch Holthus joining us on the show. Coming up, we have compiled all of the block field goal calls. We will play every single one available next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You could be on the 50 at GEHA Field for the official coin toss at a Chiefs home game this season. Enter to win at Chiefs.com/GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're always better with the roof from JR.
We've had more than our fair share of hail and wind this year.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to play for you guys every call that we have of the block field goal. In the 5 o'clock hour, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to run through all the post-game audio that we have. This is what the course of the week is going to be because we got a big week plan. I believe that this is the most important game in the NFL regular season. Now, we'll see what will happen in the NFC, but this is a monumental game for Kansas City. You can bury Buffalo. You can also bury the Baltimore Ravens in the one seed conversation. And in the final 6 weeks of the season, you can leave it to Kansas City and Pittsburgh. And I think Pittsburgh is a good team. They're far better than I thought they were going to be. Pittsburgh ain't going 14-3, 15-2 this season. You almost assuredly lock in the one seed if you win this game against the Buffalo Bills. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go through all the radio calls here, and we'll just pick which one's our favorite. All right, let's start with the television call. You guys were watching it. Let's rehear what Kevin Harlan's call was of the Chiefs' block field goals yesterday. This audio is courtesy of CBS.
Kick to win it. Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
I know that Kevin Harlan is not on the A crew, so to speak, for CBS. There is no better person in that entire network to make that call than he was. Jim Nance is a legend. They've got great broadcasters over there in CBS. There is no better individual. They had Kevin Harlan, who used to be the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and Trent Green, who used to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. They were on the call for one of the more thrilling wins that Arrowhead has ever seen before. Sometimes, you know what? The sports gods, just everything lines up, and it lined up yesterday for Kansas City. So that was the television call. Let's get to Mitch Holthus's call. This is the Chiefs radio call yesterday, the block field goal.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season is left, and one of those misses a 60-yarder in the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Fraboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
That was Mitch Holtis. That was the Chiefs radio network call of the block field goal. So you heard some positive calls, the happy calls, the television broadcast. You heard the Chiefs side of things. Let's hear the Denver Broncos thing. And as you would imagine, they were not nearly as joyous as the Chiefs were.
Will Lutz backs up, takes two steps to the side, says he's ready. An attempt of 35 yards for the win. Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is blocked. I don't even know what to say. I really am at a loss for words. 35-yard field goal blocked with 1 second to go, and Kansas City is going to get out of here with a 16-14 win over the Broncos.
Hearts broken in Broncos country, no doubt. Broncos had it all set up for a chip shot field goal. Like somebody in the interior of that Chiefs line blocked that. They got good penetration.
Yeah, it looked like I couldn't tell if it was Carson Steele. Might have been George Karloftis, 56.
Well, that's a tough one there.
They're saying Mike Dana, number 51, got it. Mahomes running around the field without a helmet. You know what? If I played for Kansas City, I would be too, because there's no way you thought that this was going to be anything but a loss. As Denver lined up for a game-winning 35-yard field goal by Will Lutz, and it is blocked, and the Chiefs win it from Arrowhead, 16-14.
Rob, did you hear the somberness on the Broncos call? Just sadness, despair, despondent. The Broncos faithful. I mean, heartbreaking. You know they thought they had that game won. It's a 35-yard field goal. It's basically an extra point to win the game, and they lost? He didn't even miss. It got blocked. Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. All right. We have heard the CBS call. We heard the Chiefs call. We heard the Broncos call. Let's get the Espanol call of the block kick.
Se viene el bateador Lutz de parte de los Broncos, el número 3. Se acomoda hacia adelante, la patada. ¡Eh! ¡Bloqueo! ¡El bloqueo, Jere! Se bloquea esta jugada y Kansas City se lleva la victoria del día de hoy. ¡Hay bloqueo! ¡Los Broncos la fallan! ¡Los Broncos no pueden hacerla! ¡Y los Kansas City Chiefs se llevan la victoria cuando esperábamos un gol de campo! ¡Kansas City y tapa este ovoide y se llevan la victoria por 2 puntos! Kansas City se mantiene invicto en la temporada 2024,
Hannah. Hey, Rob, man, I don't mean this any disrespect towards Mitch Holtis. You know we love Mitch Holtis. That guy was more fired up than Mitch even was. I didn't even think that was possible at the end of a Chiefs win. I don't understand a whole lot of what he was saying, but he kept saying El Blanco. I understand what that means. I'm well-versed enough to know what that means, and that is what happened. It was El Blanco.
Spanish call guy was fired up.
He gave you 41 seconds of El Blanco. He was fired up.
He made Mitch look neutral.
Yeah. I actually was thinking Mitch worked for the Broncos with that call compared to what we got from the Spanish guy. That was my favorite one.
Honestly, my favorite thing of all of it, if you listen to Mitch's call again, after it's blocked, you can hear Danan just chuckle. Yeah. A little sneaky laugh from Danan Hughes. He just kind of sneaks in. It's like he's a fan enjoying the moment with the rest of us. He had a little giggle. The best call is the Spanish call. The best moment is Danan's laugh.
Yeah, because Danan's laugh is the same laugh that like all of you just had. Like, yo, they did it again? Like, how do the Chiefs keep finding ways to win these games? You know, let's talk about that on the other side, because they have, I would say, four. I don't know how you guys did that. They have week 1 against the Ravens and the toenail game. That's what Mitch has called it. They have week two against the Bengals with the penalty to extend the drive. They have last week against the Buccaneers, and they also have this win against the Denver Broncos, which was the most improbable win that the Chiefs have had so far this season. And just knowing the Chiefs, they'll have three or four or more of them en route to winning another Super Bowl. We'll also talk about my biggest takeaway from yesterday. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, let's talk about yesterday's win for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is what we'll do kind of the rest of the way. Rob has compiled a lot of post-game reaction from Broncos fans. We're going to play that for you instead of doing the hits today. And we'll kind of go through what the hits would be about today. So I got the chance to watch the game with my brother, and he is a big Broncos fan. I'm talking about wore a Bo Nix jersey over to the crib yesterday. And watching the game with him and just seeing a Chiefs win through his eyes was pretty telling. You could get the feeling of how tired he is in losing to the Chiefs every single week. Tired of seeing them win. He is your average, typical opposing Chiefs fan. And the excitement that he had going into the field goal and then after the field goal, it wasn't even anger. It wasn't even frustration. It was just a sense of inevitability and the sense of they did it again. The sense that the Chiefs got one over on us again. That is just burning Broncos fans to their core. They really thought they had this one. They had a 35-yard field goal. An extra point is a 33-yard field goal. They had essentially an extra point to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and it got blocked yesterday. And the lasting image of the game is not Bo Nix, who played well yesterday, or Cortland Sutton, who had 70 yards and a touchdown yesterday. The lasting image of yesterday is the picture of the block with Leo Chenal, and it's Patrick Mahomes running around the field victorious yesterday. That is a lasting image in Broncos fans' mind. Rob, let me ask you this question. What is the most improbable, what win would you say is the, how did they do this? Is it week one and the win against the Baltimore Ravens? Is it week two and how they beat the Cincinnati Bengals? Was it last week and how they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or was it this past week and the win that they just had against the Broncos? They've had four of those kind of, it felt like coin flip 50-50. If this was any other team in the league, they probably lose this game, but they're the Chiefs. They don't lose regular season games. All they do is win. What win is kind of the craziest in your mind?
I think it's yesterday. I mean, let's go through them one by one. I mean, the Ravens one is crazy, but we've seen guys be out of bounds before. And remember, the Ravens were going to gear up to go for two. So maybe the Chiefs get the stop on the two-point conversion. It, you know, football happens sometimes. So that one's crazy, but not the most improbable. Officiating gets in the way of NFL games, but it was the correct call on Rashee Rice play. So the right call gets made, leads to a field goal. Bengals game, it's, you know, not wild and crazy, but we've seen things like that before. Last week, kind of same thing with me as the Ravens game. I've seen coaches mess that up before and kick the extra point. And we've seen in overtime teams lose. And there's no guarantee if the Bucs did the right thing and went for two, they were going to make it. When have you ever seen a blocked field goal to win a game? And then you sprinkle in the fact it's from like, what, 37, 36 yards? I think I saw the stat that that's 97.2% to go in this year in the NFL. Like, that is, it's not a gimme because you still miss it, but it's as close to a gimme as you can get. And the Chiefs block it and walk off victorious. The other ones just seem like football. This one seems like improbable. And I think you'll get this because of our ages. If you were playing Madden against someone, if you lose because you're basically out of bounds with the Ravens game, you're annoyed, whatever. Same with the Bengals, whatever. If you lost a game of Madden the way the Broncos lost a game yesterday, you're bashing that controller into the ground.
Yeah, you would break the controller and probably not play it again. One thing that I've learned in watching the Chiefs this season, I know you're not really a Scary Movie fan, but you'll appreciate and understand the analogy. Man, if you don't see the bad guy dead, you should always assume that he's alive. If there's still time for the Chiefs to beat you, you have to factor in that little percentage of things. You have to figure it out. After the game, Mike Dana is telling you, the play that we ran is the exact same play that we ran in the Super Bowl. We didn't change anything up. We didn't do anything different. This is the same way that we blocked an extra point just a couple of months ago. We did the exact same thing in this play. The Chiefs have almost every contingency plan figured out in a way to beat you in this scenario. So you got to be prepared. Why I felt so adamant last week is, man, if you feel like you got the Chiefs down, you can't let up. You got to keep pounding away until the ref comes in UFC style and stops the fight and tells you that you won. You have to try to get the Chiefs down in every single scenario. The Broncos, I would say better than any team that we have seen so far this season, they felt like they had the Chiefs down. But the Chiefs spotted a weakness that they have in their field goal unit, and they exploited said weakness. That's what great teams do. Great teams realize that your right fielder can't make the throw, and they go from first to home the way that the Royals did back in 2015. That's what great teams do. You remember the Patriots, they did that. What game was it? I think it was against the Ravens, that they realized a flaw in the system, and they kept throwing it to Julian Edelman, and they did it so much, eventually the NFL had to change the rules because they exploited it so much. This is the difference between great teams and good teams. The Broncos, I think, are a playoff team. And we can talk more about that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. I think the Broncos should have earned your respect about a team that is heading in the right direction. They've got a good coach. They've got a young quarterback who showed a lot of moxie going on the road to Arrowhead in his first start. They've got a good, capable defense. The Broncos are not a laughingstock anymore. The Broncos are not bad. The Broncos are an improved team. It still wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. None of that mattered yesterday, ultimately, at the end. And we talked about this with Mitch Holtis. There's only one organization that I think could have won that game and the way that they have been winning over the course of this season. It's the Patriots. That's who you are. Like, we throw that comparison out there a lot. It's true. You've become the Patriots in almost every single fashion. The way that nobody wants your quarterback to win, the way that you think that the game was rigged for them. I mean, I was here long enough. I watched the NFL for 10 years. People thought it was fixed for the Patriots to win. They now think that same thing about you. It is the absolute highest level of respect that you can give a team. Oh, the league is fixed. They want you to win. No one thinks that for the bad teams in the National Football League. They only think it for the good ones, and not just the good teams. No one thinks that about Buffalo. No one thinks that about Baltimore. No one thinks that for Detroit. They think that about you when you are the absolute best, when you are the one of one, when you are the cream of crop, when you are one of the greatest to ever do it. The Chiefs are in the middle of one of the greatest runs in American sports that we have ever seen.
You'll understand this, but there's a podcast. I forget which podcast. It's an NBA podcast. Evan Turner was on there, and he told the story about going into Game 7. It was Sixers and Celtics, and the winners got the Bulls, and he was playing in the NBA playoffs. And he tells the story that Elton Brand told him, hey, kid, you're going to have to win this game twice so that we can win once. And he's like, what does that mean? He was like, to beat a team of that quality in a game of this magnitude, you have to leave absolutely no doubt and beat them twice. I think that about every game with the Chiefs. You can't go into a game and be like, man, if we play great, I think we can eke out a win. You have to go into the mindset of, we're going to try to beat them twice. The Bucs didn't have it. I honestly think the Broncos got a little conservative down the stretch, even though the field goal is improbable. You have to go with the mindset of, we are going to beat you twice. That's the same way teams feel going into Allen Fieldhouse, the same way teams feel going into Cameron Indoor. You can't just be like, hey, we think we can eke out a close win here. You have to absolutely go in and dominate, kill them, and leave no doubt. What's that zombie movie with Jesse Eisenberg? The double tap. You can't just do it once. Zombieland. Zombieland, you got to double tap. And it seems like teams are learning the hard way this year. If you don't double tap, boy, that team is still alive and they can get you, and they have every time.
I mean, you have to beat KU by 8 to beat them by 2. That's the truth. You have to beat them by 8 to beat them by 2. You have to be up by 12 in order to beat KU by 4. And even though North Carolina played KU as close as you can play them, you and I both knew once that game got tied with 3 minutes to go, KU wasn't losing to you. I've seen that too many times. You guys had your chance. You've now let it be a tie ball game with 3 minutes to go with Allen. That is not a game that you are winning. If you have it down to the Chiefs and it comes down to you got to execute the one play better than they will execute it, I'm sorry, you lost. I don't want to hear about the officials. It came down to one play. You can boil down all the game, all the plays into one play. We have to execute this situation better than Kansas City. I'm sorry, you won't. Coming up at the top of the hour, Rob has compiled so much post-game audio of sad Broncos fans. We'll play it for you on your 5 o'clock drive home. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.